Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow. Happy Easter. What is going on here? Hey, listen, everyone. Actually, Mary, you're on the line, so I'm going to just open up your mic. okay, because I have these new headphones and I was trying to be all like, you know, good. So, but I didn't get a chance to test them. So I have Mary, I have my girl. She's on the other line. Mary, hope you don't, you mind. I'm going to have your mic open in a minute. Who am I? Right. I'm so excited about shit. I don't know what I'm talking about. Good morning. Happy Easter. As I am not one to go to church and all that stuff. You know, I understand there's a significance to this, and it's a kind of a terrible story, as my brother would tell my mom many, many years ago. But before we get into that, welcome to episode 36, 6789. In my world, 9, because I count angelic numbers. I'm really weird. Anyway, looking for my Give a Fuck, hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. I can't believe 36 episodes. I'm killing it. Give or take, like last week, I don't think I was here, a couple, you know, give or take three or four episodes, that sounds bad, right? Give or take a couple of episodes. Anyway, God, there's a lot to talk about. However, I always give a foundation to what the show's about, and this time I will significantly shorten it, but I'd love people to know why I have the show and the importance of it and what I continuously learn from. Anyway, this show is based off of a conversation I have with my mom and my brother, my older brother, Jake, I can call him Jay King, Jay Brown, which is my brother, oh my God. Anyway, and it's kind of, and it created open discussion with my family, as I'm a conservative and they are extremely liberal, but it also, my brother brought to my attention the book, what is the name of the book? Why don't I have it right here? Oh, there we go. By Eckhart Tolle, it's A New Earth Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And again, we'll briefly go into how I get here, how I got here, but I would love for everyone to read the book. And the reason being is that when you act a particular way, or there's something that instantaneously comes out of your mouth, or there's a knee-jerk reaction, as some people say, or you're just being a royal bee, and you look at yourself going, hey, did I say a royal bee instead of a royal bitch? Oh, my God. I guess because it's Easter Sunday, I'm trying to go to heaven. Just joking. Anyway, that was funny to me. But anyway, you find that, you know, something just kind of like you had an out-of-body experience. Like, why did I do that? Whoa. Sometimes you want to bring that to your attention so that you can make change or you can be aware of it. You're not forced to have to do anything in this world. But if you decide, like, why do I do that? Why do I turn left every day? Why do I turn right? Why, you know, why do you do these things? It's beginning to you're beginning to do these things that are interrupting in your life, in the betterment of your life. For instance, if you keep turning right and you can't turn left, it's really going to be hard to get somewhere, right? See, I said, right? I'm just killing myself with these. God, killing myself with this. My silliness. But what I'm saying is if you look around and you're doing things and it's not adding to the healthiness of your life, it's not adding to your life, it's taking away from your life. And again, we can go down so many different examples of that, but that's not the purpose of the show. But if you happen to stop and say, wait a minute, whoa. And if you want to take a few minutes just to ponder on it, and then you read this book and it tells you how to handle that moment. No, it's not to go back into, oh, my granny did this, my mom did this, I hate my whole family. Again, we get plenty of that anytime we don't like something that we do. We blame it on our grandma, grandpa, mama, the dog, or whatever. I mean, that's just what we want to do. Looking at ourselves and trying to justify our actions, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, we tend to want to justify, especially bad acts, on our experiences or other people have led us to believe this is the right way. Again, blame the world. I mean, there's a lot of it out there. Rocket. But if you just want to look at yourself and say, you know, I'd rather kind of look into this, not only to maybe see where it's coming from, and if it's a bad seed trait, maybe I can go back to the family and we can all revisit this, because this is what this show is all about. And I'll bring that back in a minute. But Anyway, what it tells you to do is sit back, look at it, ponder on it, and realize a couple things. Number one, you're projecting from the past or the present, right? And never the now. I always like to use this this example because we can all relate, especially here in California. I'm in traffic. I'm pissed off. Someone cuts in front of me. I'm just mad, right? And this happened after my conversation with my brother and my mom, and this book came about. I'm listening to the book on audio and the car, and all of a sudden, at this time when I'm sitting in traffic, I say to myself, wait, who am I mad at? What's going on here? And instead of fighting and resisting the traffic, I realized that as I sat in the true moment, it had nothing to do with the moment. I wasn't mad about the traffic per se. If you live in California and you're on the 405, the 101, the 170, the 10, the 5, okay, I can go on. There's going to be traffic. Just sit your ass down. That's the advantages and disadvantages of living in California. Get your ass in traffic, go to the beach, get your ass in traffic to go to the to the mountains, to skiing, whatever. The fact that you get to get into the traffic to get somewhere that's different than where you were from the desert to the mountains in 2 or 3 hours is the benefits of living in California. So therefore, get over it, Shirley. It's not that. What's going on? What I was dealing with the past, figuring out what I was going to do when I got home about it. So I missed out on that time in that car, which could have been spent with a different type of energy. And so for me, that was the beginning of realizing some of these things that are taught in this book or just suggested in this book by Eckhart Tolle. He also has a book, The Power of Now. Please look into it. No, I'm not getting paid, blah, 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 blah. No, I just love the book. And anything that's worth its weight in gold, quote unquote, today, the Bible, right? Why do you pay for it? I mean, there's a lot of places, especially hotels. How would I know about the Bible in hotels? I'm so going to heaven today, thank God, because it's super happy Easter day, right? Oh, God, I'm just messing this all up. But anyway, the reason this is also a really positive show compared to if you look at the title, Looking for My Give a Fuck, is because of this. It's amazing finding your voice, finding yourself, finding just anything, looking for what causes you to get up in the morning, looking for the new things in your life. And I got a couple examples of that today. The other reason is, again, my mom and my brother get together every Friday. My brother comes and sees my mom, and they have these heavy-duty conversations. They're the smartest people in the world. I am the dumbest. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed in this house, and that's okay. And they were talking about, of course, politics, and they're very liberal, very democratic. My mom, she's 82 years old, so you best believe she fought with Martin and she fought with, Malcolm X. She said she was going to walk with Martin Luther King, but they said she was a little too radical. Only my mother would have that story. We'll have her on the show one day. But anyway, the bottom line was, I'm a conservative. I just like the conservative philosophy, not the Donald Trump. He was a part of, we won't talk about that right now. Anyway, the bottom line was one day they were just going in on me, and one Friday they were going in on me, and we were sitting in the middle of this nook in the kitchen, and I just wanted to slide on the table. So I'm literally looking under the table, figuring out how I can turn into a snake, slither underneath the table through the dining room, and slither up to the second story, right, to the room that is assigned to me. And my brother goes, what are you doing? I said, looking for my give a fuck. And we laughed. And it's still funny to this very day. However, last week when I did the show, I realized, I was like, hey, you know, check this out. I love the fact that we're communicating. Communication is a key thing. And so looking for my give a fuck started off as just this amazing, funny thing with my family. And my whole thing was, I'm going to look for what I give a fuck about, you know, right after COVID and so on and so forth. A lot of give a fuck has shifted and changed, right? And then what I learned from this is my brother's very spiritual. My mother's even more open than I had believed. And I, as an individual, can have conversation as to my viewpoint. Now, one thing about this house, if you come in force with it, you better have some facts, you better have true discussion, or you better be honest and say you don't know. Because a whole bunch of feelings and all that, they have taken that up. As liberals and Democrats, they have voted and moved with emotions. Okay, but since I've been spending a lot of time with my mom, she's a Democrat that doesn't move on emotions, which means is that she takes the facts at hand. So don't come at her no more with, well, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. No, Nico, give me something. Which is really, really good, because I have believed in politics. A lot of times we move in emotions and we get no motherfucking where but crying on Sunday morning. Not this Sunday morning, because it's a praise Sunday morning. Okay. Going to hell in a handbasket. I know that, but I hope it's a cute handbasket. OK, okay, for all my family that's religious, stop it. I know you're like, oh, Shirley, stop embarrassing the family. Well, I can't because that's what I do. Okay, great. Anytime, Mayor, I see you there. You know what? I'll open your mic. I don't know how this works, but I'll open your mic because if you want to say something, please do. It is a holiday, and you might want to say something about Easter. I know you're doing your show at 11. I'm just going to open your mic, and then you know how to do your part of Kings in the Morning. So, oh, by the way,
Good morning.
Sweetie. I know
Happy
I'll be
Easter.
Happy Easter. Yeah, am I going to hell in a handbasket?
The one to judge. So I won't. But you know, today's the day that he rose. So thank God for that.
Thank God for that.
Today's
Cindy, resurrection yeah, thank
day.
God for. But you said thank God for that.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Okay.
Jesus rose. Yeah. Because
but
Jesus died.
Isn't God
you know,
the one that put him?
They crucify him. Well, they Jesus is God's son, so they crucified him, and you know he's no longer dead. He's alive again. So he's no longer on that cross.
So let me tell you this quick story about my brother. My mom, you know, she's actually Catholic. Believe it or not, I didn't know that until I found, oh my God, you guys, this is a funny story. You have to hang in there, Mary. I'm in high school. Remember Madonna was out. Madonna was wearing rosaries. Remember that? I know you do. If you don't, that means you're younger than I am and you should look it up. Like a virgin, she was wearing the rosaries. Okay. So I went into my mom's room in high school. I was a cute girl. I had my rosaries. I come home and my mom was like, dude, that is so, what is it called, sacrilegious or something? I didn't know. I was like, dude, I was cute. Not only did I have the rosary, Mary, I took two different rosaries and I tied them in the knot so they'd be a long necklace. Sorry. That's just wrong. Anyway, so my brother, many, many moons ago, my mom explained to him the story of Jesus being crucified. And so my brother listened intensely. This is the same brother that I was talking to regarding looking for my give a fuck. But, and he listened intensely, my mom said, and, you know, just the cutest little young man, like young boys, very young. And he looked at her at the end of the story and said, well, that's just a mean story. He said, my God, that's so mean. Why would a father want to do that to a child? And, of course, he has grown in his knowledge of that. But I'm asking you that question. I mean, and we'll get off it because I have so many other things to talk about. But what is the philosophy about God having his child go through all this stuff and then bring him back? I know it says something for our sins or something, but isn't this world still sinning? I mean, give me a 2-second synopsis if you'd like. If not, we'll just go to the next topic.
Okay, so my understanding is that, you know, Jesus came here to walk amongst, Jesus came in the flesh to walk amongst man, to live man's life, to understand being in the flesh. And then, of course, the Romans and the Jews crucified him. And he was, you know, he died on the cross for our sins. So you're not going to hell, Shirley. It'll be okay. Just ask for forgiveness,
you know what?
And God will forgive you.
I ain't worried about it. But wait a minute. He died for our sins. But if the Romans and the Jewish people put him on the cross, whose sins is he dying for? I didn't do that. We'll talk about that
another
day.
Well, he died for all of man's sins because we all, in the flesh, we sin. I mean, that's what it is.
Okay.
So even and even the Romans and the Jews that crucified him are forgiven for what they did to him. Even they have a chance for salvation.
The world being in this, and truly, there's a lot of uprising everywhere. Is this where he comes back down again, or is it every Easter he comes down and he forgives us for the sins of the previous year?
No,
because there's so many sins since that time. No, okay.
Yeah, well, but this is just the day that we celebrate as Christians and Catholics and other religions. This is just the day that we celebrate his resurrection. That's all. We just.
Well, my question
it's
is
not
this.
Like
he was
comes
crucified
every
based
Easter.
On the sins that were. He was crucified for the sins that he had done prior, for the sins that we had done prior to. Or is he crucified for the sins that were done prior to and for the future thereof? You know, there. You know what I mean? Is that crucifixion?
Does
it count for today?
Well, he died for our sins. That counts every day. But this is just the day that we celebrate his resurrection. But he didn't die. The reason why the Romans and the Jews crucified him was because he would not succumb to what they wanted him to succumb to. So he came and he was the Messiah and he was healing people and, you know, doing all these great things. And he had this great following, but they thought that he was, you know, they thought he was a fake. They wanted him to say, well, if you are the Son of God, then prove that to us. And he did not feel like he needed to prove that to them. They just didn't have faith and they didn't have, you know, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe. They were, although the Jews were always waiting for the Messiah to come, they just did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah.
Okay. Right. And I'm too ignorant to go into the philosophy of. My only question is this. When he was crucified for our sins, is that for the sins of that from that point prior to him being crucified or the future sins that God knew was going to happen? Okay, cool. Okay, we're going to change the subject. Well, thank you, Jesus, because let me tell you, there's a lot of people out here that, you know, the sins is all over,
that's
but
a
I'm going to look at it this
going
way.
On, girl.
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, I don't want to laugh.
A lot of
sinning. Forgive me, because I am a devout Christian, so I don't want to laugh. But, I mean, even though I'm a Christian and I love the Lord and I believe in God and I do all that, I still sin. I'm in the none of us are perfect.
Well, we can't be perfect. I mean, I don't think he – well, you know, it gets into such a philosophical situation at hand. So the thing is, I just get to the point where people didn't believe who he was. He had to be – he was crucified. There was an agreement. God said, yeah, I got it. You had to do this. And he said, dang, this is tough, but I'm going to knock it out. He does it. He's in pain. There's women who are there with him. During this time, and then he goes through some type of transitioning, and then on Sunday he rises again, and people still don't believe that. So, you know, the moral of the story, if there is a moral, is that we all sin, like you said, and as a result of Jesus being sacrificed or whatever called for our sins, we can be forgiven. And I think that's a positive part of the story. Okay, so I got something else. Can I go to the next topic? Or do you want to close in on something proper when it comes to the holiday? Do you want to say something in closing to make that proper?
Just, you know, I thank God that he is not on that cross anymore and he's alive.
Awesome. Okay. So stay there. I got a couple other things. I'm going to put you, well, I think you know how to act. So if there's a lot of noise or something comes on, like Jay would say, mute your damn self. If you don't mute yourself, what does he say? I'm going to put your dumb ass on mute. I never got a chance to say that. Okay, anyway.
I always mute myself after I say something, so you're good. I'll keep myself muted.
Yeah. What does he say? Wait, what does he say? I'm put your, how does he say it, Mary? I'm going to put your, you say it, because you say it better than I do. I'm going to put
that's
your
why,
dumb ass on mute. Go ahead.
That's why your dumb ass is on mute.
Everyone wants to hear that. Okay. So I want to talk about, this is a different order. Real quick, before the show, my mother was watching this incredible, I guess it's just a documentary about these young men that are riding incredible waves. I mean, just waves that the average person, in fact, I think one young man jumped out of a helicopter with his, I don't know, to ride the wave. It was that intense, the biggest wave in the whole world. And initially, she's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is beautiful. And then she starts crying. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then she goes into, well, these white boys have generational wealth, you know. And then she goes into, why don't black men do? She went across the gamut. And again, that is from a point of view where my mother has seen all things. You know, like I said, 82 or 83, depends on the day. She'll tell me the real age. And I witnessed that. And I witnessed it eyes wide open. And she watched the beautiful waves just being such a true thing of maybe it was because it's Easter Sunday, just what God has created. And these waves were just more beautiful, or she was just entrenched with it, okay? So maybe that was that Catholic spiritual side asking for me to give her back her rosaries that I never did, by the way. And then she saw these young guys just taking daredevil chances. And then she got mad. Well, they can do this because generational wealth. And then she said, and black folks, and then here we go. Well, I responded to this. I said, yeah, we're working on the generational wealth. But could you imagine, Mom, every gang member in the world, better yet, every black man in the world that could surf a wave like that, what do you think would happen? She's like, what the fuck, Shirley, are you talking about? I said, what do you think would happen if every person in the world, just let's just expand it? She goes, I don't know what you're getting at. I said, if we could all ride waves like that, we wouldn't fear life, we'd live life. Life would be an everyday adventure. Death would just be the effect of living a life of purpose, such as doing what you want to do. But when you are facing nature and you're riding with that energy and you know you are a speck in this great world, then you honor and you want to be in that energy because that energy is outside. You know, the energy outside of that, the connection with the with your passion per se, or even if it's based on generational wealth and you're looking for an adrenaline, you know, booster. But the thing is, it's like you're with nature and you get a reality check when that wave get ready to come at your motherfucking ass and knock you out. And you know what? You're close to you're living life and close to death and close to life at the same time. She's like, what are you getting at? I said, if black men, because black men tend to be ones, you know, I see change, but all people, but we're just using black men because she went and used that. I said, if they lived life, they were like they were riding away, there'd be no excuses. There'd be no waiting for a mule or 40 acres. There'd be no white women are better than black women. There'd be none of that. There'd be no, I don't do this, I don't do that. They'd be living in their true totality of self. And whatever decisions they make from that place would be the man. We can use that white, black, or indifferent. What I say is that, now we're going to go into the other part of what I wanted to talk about. If we all rode the rave, even I, if I got up every morning and surfed, hold on, sorry, someone sent something to me, knowing damn well I'm doing my show. See, now I know how JB act feeling. Nigga, you know I'm doing the show. How you going to ask me a question? Sorry. But if we all woke up and we rode the waves every morning, going into work would be, and then at night go back and ride sunset. I don't know how that works. Probably can't do it that way. But a lot of us stay on the surface, stay on the sand, and we watch it and we admire from afar. Then we get mad at those others who say, fuck it. And again, it could be generational wealth. You get to kind of do more things than others because we're trying to eat and others are trying to look for adrenaline. Hey, I got it. But if we did it, maybe I wouldn't hear some of the things that I've heard recently. And I'm going to go into the next part of that. So one of the phases is that if we all were riding the wave, we'd all live our potential, for each wave could take us to the next realm to what we would not be afraid of. But now we stay on the sand. We're not entrenched in the energy of nature. And so therefore, we're afraid to die. And I'm probably one of them. That probably goes hand in hand with the conversation I just had with Mary about Jesus and God and all that. But I'm going to put it in my way because I'm not from the heavens or the Bible readings. I'm just fun looking at this great earth, nature. One more thing. There is a couple of people that have died rock climbing or other type of weird things they were doing. And I thought, oh my God, you know, if you're rock climbing, I mean, you're just going to die. And then I thought, oh my God, no. They were living every moment. And when they died, they were welcoming into whatever happens. To this, if someone were to say, hey, Shirley, you know, your body doesn't want to be in this realm anymore, I'd probably resist trying to cry. Why? So when we think about Easter and we think about purpose and we think about Jesus and we think about all those things, I think we just miss out on life, death, all that's all in one when you are one with nature. I realize that. Maybe next week I'll learn how to live that. A lot of us can express, but how many of us really ride the waves? And that's my conversation to myself for the moment. I also want to go into something. I had a conversation with someone yesterday. You might know who that person is, Mary. And we were talking about these, the Tennessee Three, which I call them the Tennessee Two, because they're two black men and a white woman, and they're young adults, Justin Pearson and Justin Jones. When I looked at them and I read up on them, I was very proud as a mother of a 32, 33-year-old. Shit, I don't know. After a certain age, that nigga ain't telling his age because it's telling my age, right? But very proud because I have a son that fought the fight and is in the Los Angeles firefighter, which is huge because they don't really take in a lot of black men, even if he's mixed. And I was just so proud because I thought his generation, oh, my God, these young adults don't even care what's going on. And I saw this Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, again, the Tennessee Three. If you want to look at it, there was a white woman, Johnson, that was also, they were expelled from the floor for protesting against gun violence. And again, the reason I'm saying this, I was just looking at them going, oh, my God, they can conjugate verbs. They got passion. One reminds me of Malcolm X. The other one just reminds me of this, my nephew, actually, the kids, I think Filipino and black. Just well-spoken, well-passionate. Just, oh, I was so excited. And I'm talking to this other person who says to me, well, Shirley, that's why you black mothers make weak mothers. I'm like, what? Because you're not even acknowledging the fact that they violated the rules by not speaking in the pit or whatever it's called. They weren't supposed to do that. And I, as a person that works within this environment, you know, you don't get shit done if people cannot constantly protest. So they violated the rules and they should have been expelled. Well, you know, we didn't really go into how come the other white woman wasn't expelled, but that's here nor there. And then he went on, you know, then I took it to a place that I may or may not have necessarily needed to, but I had to get off my chest. I said, you know, I'm so tired of people accusing black women of either making black men weak or black men saying they don't like black women. I have a son who is marrying the most beautiful young lady in the world, and she is not black. My brother, after his first wife, who's black, they laugh, I'll never go back to black again. And all this stuff, but yet, then they honor saying black women hold down the black family. But yet we also keep our kids down. What the fuck? Leave black women alone. Okay? Leave us alone. I'm tired of it. Listen, black men, including my son and my brother and everyone else who thinks that because I am their sister, it doesn't faze me when they say black women aren't beautiful or supportive. Fuck you guys, because I am. I am a black woman. I fell in love with my baby daddy, not because of his color. That nigga took good care of me. And every other man I've been with has done the same thing. I didn't look at him saying I didn't like niggas. That wasn't it. Anyway, get off our asses. We love our children. We may even smother our children because so many of them have died before us. And yes, we need to shut our mouths sometimes, but you know what? Without our voice, a lot of us wouldn't be where we are. Give black women a break. If you don't want to be with us, say it. Don't put us down. And don't disregard our love as weakness for our children. We have a lot to learn as parents. All right, you guys, happy Easter. I'm out. Until then, I'm signing off and reminding everyone to make great, great memories and be good to yourself and others. Goodbye.